Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
This is illegal. It's got to stop.
Mexico is very culpable in this.
They need to take all these children and put them right on the Mexico border.
It's not about race. It's about resources.
Fighting for Idaho.
The Bureau of Land Management agreed with a Nevada sheriff that rancher Clive and Bundy must be held accountable for his role in an April standoff.
And it's getting ridiculous.
Fighting for you.
I just took exception to your statement about soccer being a socialistic sport. Have you heard of the Olympics?
She's absolutely right.
That's enough out of you. Please cut his mic.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Coming up, we'll speak with Dave Petzo, News About Your Money. I cannot thank the promoters and supporters of the Treasure Valley God and Country Festival, the 48th annual in Nampa at the Ford Idaho Center. Just an incredible event. It's funny because I've wanted to be a part of that event for almost 5 years, and it was just wonderful being a part of that event with David Ferdinand, with all the elected officials, with Dee Sartin from Channel 7, did such a great job. And I just kind of marveled at watching Dee Sartin, because everybody would come up to her and speak, and just like she is on the air, very inquisitive, very social, very informed about the issues. And I'm sitting there sweating, and you could see a picture of Dee Sartin and myself on the website, 580kido.com. I'm sitting there sweating, trying to try and compose myself, going, gee, I wish I would have brought a towel. And there Dee is talking to just about everyone. And we've got a video that we'd love to share with you. We've got it on one of our Facebook sites. We'll get it up on the others. We've tweeted it out. It's only 2 minutes. And our wonderful friend Nagme Dabadini is there. And she gives us an interview and talks about God, faith, and family. And it was nice to talk with Nagme in person and to get her thoughts on America and faith. And there were a lot of people that were there that I didn't know, and the heat was hot. There you go. There's something redundant. It was stifling, but the music was inspirational. And for me, this is the first time I've really been at an event. I've been to, you know, as we know, we've all been to tons of political events. Oh, I see Dave Petzo driving in. Oh, good. Come on, Dave. Time to go. You know, I've been to ton of these events, but it was the first time that I've been to a Christian event where you could speak openly about God and country and everything else. And I remember a time in America where we could speak about God and country and not be embarrassed about it. And not be embarrassed to say, this is our country. We love America. So coming up this hour, we will talk with Dave Petzo from the Petzo Center. We'll take your calls. Apparently Tom Munns is ready to go. He's already geared up to grill Dave Petzo. And we might find that enjoying some entertaining aspects of the program. Then we'll take a look at some of the national issues. How about this Donald Sterling issue? Now, many of us have been married. Many of us have been married several times. Many of us have been married to the same person for many, many years, and congratulations. On the other hand, what would happen if your spouse declared you a wackadoodle? Now, I know you're saying, Kevin, all we do is, you know, everybody in society talks about sports, but this is really not a sports story where you have a $2 billion sale of the Los Angeles Clippers up and at them. And it depends on whether or not your husband's a nut. He says he isn't. The doctors say he isn't. His wife says that he is. And we're talking $2 billion for the Los Angeles Clippers. So we'll talk a little bit about that with our Fox News reporters. And getting back to the fireworks thing, the thing that gets me about fireworks is, okay, we have Star, we have Meridian, we have Boise, we have all these places. By the way, God and Country, awesome fireworks display. And yet I'm sitting here thinking to myself, then, you know, why do we have the communities do it if everybody in the neighborhood does it? You know, Bill down the street, Phil down the street. I don't want Phil and Bill keeping me up all night. I want some sanity, so we'll have a little tongue-in-cheek talk about that. Well, Dave Petzo's joining us here at 580KIDO.
Of course. It's Monday.
I saw you pull in. Did you hear me?
No.
No, you weren't listening. You weren't listening to the program.
I wasn't.
You weren't listening to this program.
No,
Dave
I was
Petzo,
listening to
see,
the – no, it was the news. The news was on.
No, you weren't. I go, there goes Petzo right there.
I
can't believe this. First, Phil Hardy.
I was caught up in a story, you know.
First, Phil Hardy admits to – he's listening to sports radio on his way in here. And now my great friend, Dave Petzo.
And I am ashamed.
You know –
but you know, I come from Channel 7. Okay, I have an excuse.
So
it's like right at 7 o'clock. It's either more news or I can pop it over and see
what
the market on CNBC or Bloomberg and see what the market's doing.
Now wait a minute, that's not on local radio.
No, it's not.
So here you are.
And you know what? I would not have Sirius Radio except my wife got it with the car. What can I do?
I'm with you.
It came with it.
Well, Dave Petzo, this is how we show our affection to you. We give you a hard time, so we have your headphones ready for
totally,
you.
I totally deserve it, though.
We have the headphones for you because we have some. This is going to be Grill Dave Petzo Day today.
Oh boy, really?
See, this is what happens when you take a little time off.
Apparently, they're lined up. Huh?
Well, one of them is. That's lined up for us here.
Okay, well, I like it.
Anyway, good to have you with us here, Dave Petzo, our great friend. We go to Tom Munz, TomMunz.com, who posted something on Facebook and said, Kevin, why don't you ask Dave Petzo this? I said, why don't you ask him yourself? So, good morning, Tom Munz.
Good morning. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good, Tom. Good.
You know, it's about time. I'm kind of feisty this morning, and I had to grill you about this, man, and it's driving me crazy.
All right.
And I just beat my head about this thing forever. And you know, you talk about money, and I just think it's time to talk about constitutional money again, where it is, what the constitutional provisions allow for, and why we're not there, and why nobody in the financial industry is making themselves back to it. Now, the only thing that I can think of is the fact that because of the fact that we have this inflationary...
Now, hold on for a minute here, Tom. Hold on. Now you're watching TV as
Tom's talking. I wasn't. I was not. I'm listening to Tom. I was looking to see what the market was. I'm totally focused. I got it.
Oh, man. You know,
Wait a minute, Tom, hold on. With all due respect, I was listening, and you lost me after, like, the second sentence, so.
Well, I'm just, you know, we continue to, you know, we have, here's the crux of my deal, okay? We celebrate the 4th of July that nobody understands what it is. We celebrate God and country on one hand and completely desecrate his word and our freedom on the other. And then we go ahead and we talk about money. And this is no disrespect to Dave because I love him. But, you know, we've got to – if we continue to not talk about what our founding principles are, including constitutional money, if there was ever any chance of getting there, we're never going to get there if we don't talk about it. I want to know why the financial industry isn't – obviously, the banks aren't going to do it, but why the
now,
local...
Now, this is quite a run-up to the question here, Tom.
Come on, man. Let's get back to our principles. I mean, we know what they are.
Well, wait a minute. Let me go back to the Facebook post here, which was like a sentence. Let's see. Ask Petzo about the difference between real and the federal money. Isn't that what it was?
The constitutional money.
All right. What's the difference between real and the constitutional money?
I don't know. I don't know what you mean, Tom. I don't know
now,
what
Tom
you mean about
constitutional. Now, Tom's explained it quite a bit already.
Well, maybe you could help me then. Then you tell me.
Did I throw up on you again this morning?
Pardon me?
Did I throw up on you again this
you
morning?
You mean verbally.
No, you're fine.
I apologize.
I don't know, Tom. Well, it's pretty close.
Now, look, here's the only thing I can tell you as far as that goes. I know people want the gold standard and things like that. Is that what you're referring to, Tom? So I don't know what you mean about constitutional.
Tom's not a big fan of the Fed.
It's more about the rule of law and the government's and the people's understanding to keep the government limited to those enumerated powers.
Now, wait a minute. What does that have to do with money?
Well, it's got to do everything to do with money. If they can control our money, they can control us. And they've already deviated
from
the
Well, they do control us, and Dave Petzo's the guy behind it.
That's a puppet master, yeah.
He's not a banker, though.
Oh.
I'm disguised.
I guess the role of the Fed is what he wants to talk
about. I think so, yeah. And I think that look, I understand what you're saying as far as them potentially overstepping their bounds, maybe not being as independent and things like that. If that's what you're referring to, there certainly is a lot of discussion both on Wall Street as well as from constitutionalists such as yourself that are very, very concerned that the Fed has overstepped their bounds, that they're not going to be able to pull the punch bowl back, that printing money is putting us in a position where we think it's safe, it's okay to spend $1 trillion or two or ten too much, and it really won't come back to bite us. If that's what you're referring to, there's an awful lot of dialogue every single day, and it's not just going to be out there on some blog sphere or whatever. And they're not a bunch of nuts either. So there's very real considerations there. I don't know if you're referring to it from a standpoint of discussing it, but or if I've hit on it. But one of the things that I think is very important, and I know you, and you've actually indicated this in the past. What we have to be careful of, I think, is getting caught up in what is precisely right and missing opportunities, because what we have is we don't have a phony market. This is a real market at 17,000.
Now, wait a minute. How can we say we don't have a phony market when we're printing money to keep us afloat?
Everything's phony.
Yeah, Tom. Everything's
phony. Then it's all phony, right?
It's the matrix.
There isn't anything real, but it doesn't make any difference. Why is it that it's bad to be in the stock market, or we're all waiting for it to crash, but it's okay to buy gold or build a bunker and not live life forward? It's not okay.
Then it's okay to break the law, then, because if there are two different things.
Tells
me I can't speed on the freeway, and I go ahead and speed on the freeway. It's like, well, it's not really that big of a deal.
Tom, it's two different things. Fight the good fight, but don't let it stop you from investing and moving forward. And optimistically, it's an abundant world. It always has been. And we have to keep our eyes focused past Obama, past whatever's going on that you don't agree with at the time. And I don't either. And you fight the good fight doesn't mean we stop. You don't stop investing.
Well, if we don't get out of the fake money, I mean, our reliance on the fake money is what's killing us, man, I think.
Well,
all
right, Tom.
Like to a point. But hey, thanks. Have a great day, you guys.
You have a good day.
580 KIDO. Dave Petzl with us. Very optimistic today.
Dow's at 17,000, pal.
What does that mean?
That means everybody's making money. Oh yeah, not everybody, because the people that aren't actually in the market because they doubt it.
Which would be
80%. They doubted it for thousands of points.
80% of the country is not in the market.
No, over half the they are in their 401ks.
Right, but not active investors.
Not as much. No, and they don't have to be.
They have to be because, you know, you go to work and they make you.
Make you. They hold a gun to you. It's a new federal law. Obama passed it.
Well, but back to the issue here, Dave Petzl here at 580KIDO. What happens when the Fed stops printing money to the markets?
They have been slowing down printing money, and the market is up another 40% since they announced tapering.
Right. I'm not talking tapering. I'm talking done.
We're getting more than halfway done.
Sure. But what happens, I mean, you've always lectured us here at 580KIDO, and thankfully about being fiscally responsible.
You can't print your own money.
But the government can.
The government can.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about this, every other week.
Yeah.
What happens, though, won't there be consequences when we look at this money and we try and figure out, I'm not going to be negative here, about how to pay it back.
As we know, it won't be paid back.
Will the Chinese all of a sudden take California?
No.
As collateral?
No. And it's not in their interest to default, and they're going to keep paying.
Washington,
just
maybe?
Like the Japanese did, and we were all worried when the Japanese were buying. Remember 25 years ago? You don't. You're such a baby.
I do remember that.
Yeah, in the history books.
They bought the empire. No, they. I was...
And they bought, that's
they
right.
They bought the Empire State Building and everything. I totally remember that stuff.
That's right. And then we bought it back from them for about a third of what they paid for it.
All right. He's fired up and ready to go after our sneak attack on him. More of Dave Petzl coming up next at 580KIDO. Let's get you to traffic. Good morning.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:25, Kevin Miller in the morning. Welcome back to work. Dave Petzl with us. All right, Dave Petzl, let's take a look at, does anything really happen in the summer? Should we be worried about a meltdown since times are good for those that are in the markets?
I don't think there's anything to be worried about, except that life rolls on and then something happens. You know, you never know. It's at these calm times that something can come out of nowhere. It always is, and it always can be. But what is interesting to me is how much Wall Street tries to make something out of nothing. The fact that the market isn't volatile is positive. The fact that we're pausing here and then we go up a little bit and then we move sideways, and everybody's saying, oh, you know, the market is too lackadaisical. Well, you know what? You pointed out earlier, you know, obviously used a little bit of an exaggerated number when you said 80% of the people aren't in the market. But I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that 80% of the people do not believe in this market. They don't think it's real. They think there's something weird about it, and they're afraid of it. And so when we have that kind of negativity, I have no idea what they're talking about being complacent, or, you know, there's too many people are positive on it or complacent about it. No, they're out of the market. They're out of the market. They're just wishing it would go down, because they've missed the entire thing. And so it is a kind of crazy thing that we make up in the news, that the market being calm and having low volatility is somehow bad. And it's good. But we are in that period, Kevin. There isn't anything to worry about right now. But that's what always worries us, is something's coming, and we don't know what.
Dave Petzo with us here at 580KIDEO. Let me hit you with this. How do you see any historical comparisons to the good times that we saw during the dot-com boom, during the Clinton roar, when we're talking about the markets here? Because they have reached, you know, record heights in some places. I'm trying to think of, you know, the great rallies or the great bull markets, if you will. And I guess you could say during the Bush administration as well. Any historic parallels that you see here?
No,
with this one?
No. And that's the thing that people are always looking for, is like, oh, if I could just run enough charts and graphs to kind of look at how this period looks like 2006, or it looks like 2008, or whatever, or 1993, whatever time frame, then they could somehow predict then, therefore, what's going to be happening. And the answer is, right now, it is much more, if you will, a period that all periods look different. But if this is a more quiet period, back to the 60s and 70s, when most people weren't paying much attention to the stock market, I would say it's much more like that. And yet, business news doesn't let us just not pay attention.
Well, they have to feed the beast.
Correct. And the beast has gotten so big in financial land since the dot-com boom that it is quite a beast now. And so they make a lot of noise, and people think you have to follow all the noise. Kevin, you don't have to follow the noise. Just relax, chill, and let the money grow, because it does do that.
Well, but you take a look not only, though, at financial markets, but, you know, this just out of, what is it, South Korea and others, people are looking at our currency. And we've seen this before. We've had people question whether or not the dollar should continue to be the international monetary standard, if you will. This South Korea, China, to trade in national currencies.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? I mean, and again, we're getting inside baseball here.
Yeah.
At 580KIDEO, but we've had an enormous advantage when it comes to our currency being the international standard.
That's right. We are allowed to be horrible stewards of money. That's what it's allowed us to do. No question that we have become the gold standard in the world, the place to hide money when there's any turmoil, and there's always turmoil of some kind going on. So we're always the place to go to. So is that going to diminish over the years? Absolutely, Kevin. Not because the Russians and the Chinese are going to get together and create a new currency, but over the years, it makes no sense to trade in any one currency. It makes sense to have a global type of trade currency, and I think that will evolve over time. But it's a long ways away. There really isn't any other currency, and so everybody talks about this nonsense. And you know this. We've talked about this before, Kevin, but this is how much people want a conspiracy theory. They will believe anything that's out there as long as it's negative.
You listen to the station from 6 till like 5 in the morning. It's called The Underground, and we harbor those conspiracy theories.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And I worry about those.
Because
folks
that's why I have issues, because the conspiracy theories.
But you look at this and you see this, because July 1st was supposed to be the day this some kind of magic new law took effect, and then the dollar would collapse. Well, of course, it hasn't collapsed, and the dollars, they took my dollars at the golf course over the weekend. It was weird. They didn't want my rubles.
Now, that's very reassuring.
And they wouldn't take my yuan. And this is what these sites actually pimp. And it's not even you could want this kind of information. It's absolute pornography because it's not only not true, but it leads everybody away from the truth.
All right, 580 KIDO, one more for Dave Petzo. How disingenuous, in your opinion, are the gold ads?
Totally. Totally. It's a total sales snow job. Fear sells. Fear sells. It leads us to inappropriate products. It leads us to inappropriate things. What does gold do? Nothing, Kevin.
You have the gold IRA.
I know.
It holds its value.
Correct. It holds its value against what? What? What does it do? How much does it earn? Can you eat it?
Well,
in the apocalypse, can I eat my gold? No, actually, you'll die.
I don't know the fiber content in gold.
It's very high, and it will be toxic. Kevin, the point is that it doesn't make any sense. It's all sold on fear, and it's all sold on hyperbole about the coming economic collapses. And so, no, it's sold on fear. The same way that people sell at these annuity seminars, the same thing. It's fear, it's fear, it's fear, it's fear. It's all about fear. Instead of believing in this simple concept, the world is continuing to grow both here and abroad. The great corporations of the world continue to become more and more profitable all the days, all the decades of our life. That's the evidence. That's the evidence of the entire last 200 years. We continue to become more abundant. We continue to solve our medical problems. We continue to have incredible leaps in technology. You go over here, you just pick up your telephone because somebody asks you what the average temperature is in Guatemala, and in seconds you can look that up. You can look up anything. You can have Siri steer you to Mars from here.
Right, but we still have high unemployment.
We have higher unemployment than we did. That's correct. But my point is that still has nothing to do with the great corporations of the world and the growth. We have to worry about the problems, Kevin. I do agree with that, and we need to fight the good fight, the constitutional fight, the fight for the families. All those things are absolutely true and real. But to ignore all of history and to be so caught up in all this fear and all these ridiculous things leads people to make terrible, terrible investments, and I think life decisions too, because living in that kind of depression is no way to live at all.
Dave Petzo, Saturday, 8 to 10.
Amen.
All right. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hi-de-ho, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. So what happens when your wife says you're a kook, but you're not a kook, or you could be a kook, and $2 billion at stake? Joining us now, Tanya J. Powers at Fox News Radio for the latest on Sterling versus Sterling. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm trying to figure out how this matters to us in America, but I guess anybody who's in a relationship, anybody who's married, I guess our biggest fear was our wife or our husband would think we're a kook.
Well, in this case, it could cost dearly, depending on what the courts say. At issue is whether or not the $2 billion sale of the L.A. Clippers will go ahead or not. As you mentioned, the estranged wife of Donald Sterling, the team owner, she had two doctors examine him, and they declared him mentally incapacitated and therefore unable to act as the administrator of the Sterling Family Trust, and that's what owns the Clippers. He has gotten his own doctor, I believe from the Cleveland Clinic, to say that that's not correct and that he is, of sound mind. So that's part of the fight back and forth here.
Well, really, what's at stake, Tanya?
Well, whether or not the sale will go through. The NBA wants this done sooner than later. And as a matter of fact, Shelley Sterling, she says she believed, she had full control of the whole thing because the trust actually says if either of the Sterlings is incapacitated, the other one has full control of the trust. Well, believing that she had that, she reached that agreement back at the end of May to sell the Clippers for $2 billion. Donald Sterling even said about 6 days later he supported the sale. Then 10 days after the deal was struck, he said, no, wait, I'm going to revoke this. I don't want this to go through. And that's kind of the crux of the whole thing. If he was incapacitated, then that's, depending on what the judge decides, the sale might go through.
Right. So this really puts the entire sale in jeopardy. And remember, everybody wants Donald Sterling out. You've got the guy that used to run Microsoft after Bill Gates. You've got possibly all these sports guys going there. So this is a pretty big deal. Do you think it resonates past the sports world, Tanya?
I do, because you've got several things going on. Not only, as you mentioned, you know, the thing going on with the spouses, there's also a lot of folks who are still back on the whole reason that he was banned for life from the NBA in the first place. And there's, you know, people who talk about the free speech issue of it. There are even other owners in the NBA who've said that this is kind of a slippery slope because these remarks, as inflammatory as they were made in private. So there's a lot of other things going on here other than just, you know, something that might affect the fans of the sports team.
I just wonder, how long do you expect this trial to go? And, you know, I guess we'll have some resolution or you know, then again, I guess if Donald Sterling continues on with this, then this gives him fodder for his bigger lawsuit with the NBA.
Well, he wants it handled in a federal court. And if that's done, this could delay things even further. Now, also complicating matters, you've got this potential deal with Shelly Sterling and, as you mentioned, the former Microsoft CEO for $2 billion. That is set to expire on the 15th of this month, which is not very far off. It's also the same day the NBA's Board of Governors is scheduled to vote on this sale. The league wants the new Clippers ownership in before the season starts, and they've even indicated that the Sterlings have to sell the team by September the 15th. So there's a lot of potential roadblocks here.
I wonder if we could have two owners of the Clippers.
That's
like the
question.
One recognized by the league and Donald Sterling saying, "I'm not leaving."
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because if you know, things get really, really, I guess, really ugly, then the NBA can seize the team, from what I understand, and put it up for auction.
Wow. Tanya J. Powers, we appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am.
Sure.
All right, 7:45, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Now, I've been waiting to yap to you a while about this, and phone number's here, 580-5436. And, you know, it's been a while since I was on sabbatical. I was on clinical leave. I was at the facility for a little time, a little R&R at the institution. And as I was at the institution, I noticed, and I told Dave Burnett about this a little earlier, that since I didn't have you to yap to hear my concerns, I went on social media.
I went on social media, everyone. And as I was on social media, I was complaining about the fireworks displays. No, not the ones in Boise or Meridian or Star, Idaho, or in Nampa with God and Country. But all these fireworks that I guess are the product of Will, Billy, and Tim on the side of the roads. We see it every year. We see it at New Year's. We see it at the 4th of July. Celebrate your independence. Buy Big Willie's fireworks. And it's great business for Big Willie. Heck, in Star, they have this big giant gorilla. Now, what does that have to do with M80s, the price of M80s? I don't know. But having been in Star for the first time, I was amazed at the amount of patriotism, or at least the amount of fireworks going off. And I actually was in a neighborhood that reminded me of Beirut in 83, because we had the dueling fireworks on the streets going on. And then we actually had, and I'm not kidding, fireworks. And if you go to Kevin Miller on Facebook, not that Kevin Miller, this Kevin Miller, and you take a look at some of the fireworks, you'll actually see the big shooting stars that rival that of any public celebration. And I was shocked that people started questioning my patriotism, because I was not impressed with fireworks going off till 1:45 in the morning. Now, as you know, I was very, very fearful of my house burning down. Thankfully, the institution did not burn down, and we made it through the night. But I'm just sitting there watching everybody hitting the fireworks. And a few thoughts for you at 580-5436. Number one, as I said on Facebook and got vilified, especially by Pat from Middleton, for just stating, look, leave it to the professionals. And then he started accusing me of not loving America like a lot of people. Thank you, Phil Hardy, for that one. And then the idea that institutions shouldn't be shooting off the fireworks, but it's the people. And okay, are fireworks really a great way of celebrating the Declaration of Independence? How many of you really relate to the rocket's red glare when you're shooting up a bottle rocket?
And number two, you know, are fireworks legal or not? Apparently, don't you have to sign some waiver about fireworks? And so if you sign the waiver, does that mean that, what, you're not held accountable or you don't shoot them off in Idaho and apparently the law lets you do it? Yes, I'm going to claim ignorance of the law here.
Well, you shouldn't claim ignorance of the law, and you're going to introduce a topic that doesn't show that you're very informed. So what else is new?
But at 580-5436, I'm sitting there going, dude, have I really missed this? What the blank? And then people saying, well, Kevin, I'll gladly put up with fireworks to celebrate our nation's independence. Now, I hate to be Nellie Nag here or Debbie Downer. How many of you, as you're sitting there, perhaps consuming an alcoholic beverage, perhaps watching yourself or the kids shoot off the fireworks, are really thanking God, Alexander Hamilton, and James Madison for our great nation? Or, as I would believe, you're shooting them off to have fun, and that's great. But in reality, don't we take it too far? Don't we really take it too far? Let's talk about it next. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Kevin, I want to give you a big shout-out, a big thank you for all you do. You go above and beyond, Kevin. You make a real positive difference in the community.
You are probably one of the best talk show hosts that I've listened to on the entire West Coast.
I guess that's just how you roll, Kevin.
Must-hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we are talking to you about fireworks. And I know a lot of people are going to go, oh, Kevin, you know, it's so easy to attack the messenger. And do we go too crazy on the fireworks? Oh, well, if it isn't Mom's Apple Pie, Pat from Middleton at 580 KIDO.
Kevin, first of all, you know I love you, man. You know I think you're a great talk show host. You're wonderful listening every morning, and sometimes I just got to keep you in check, man. I just don't want to keep you sane. You know I love you, though.
I know you love me, but, boy, you always, you know, you do such a great job of getting me fired up.
Well, I'm glad, because that's more talk, so more room for conversation, right? I mean, that's what conversation and debate is all about, you know, so find out where you really sit. But, you know, the thing is, yes, everybody, I mean, everybody, even 10-year-old little boys know that this law is stupid, that you can sell fireworks like this legally, but you can't let them off. Everybody knows you're going to let them off. I know cops that let them off. I know firemen that let them off. I sat with a former BLM firefighter over the weekend, and he was lighting them off. So, well, he was watching them. He actually wasn't lighting them off, but the neighborhood was lighting them off, and he wasn't stopping it. The point is, I think this is a healthy level of rebellion. I think the law is there so that people who normally wouldn't break the law can feel a little bit of rebellion. I mean, I'm not saying that's why the law is there, but I think it's a little healthy. It's good to know that you can stand up for a law, do it anyway, and say, look, this is a stupid law, so I'm going to do it. And it's the one time they break the law.
So they're a bunch of lawbreakers. So you're endorsing breaking the laws.
You know, if we don't break some stupid laws and prove the point that they're stupid, I mean, I don't know of any very many fires that took place over the weekend from fireworks. You know, I don't think I heard fire engines anywhere going off. And so, you know, we were doing it right. We were safe about it.
Not till 1:45 in the morning.
Oh, you know, wah. You know, you didn't come in on Saturday anyway, did you?
I couldn't. I was shell-shocked.
Well, it's about time someone checked that cage of yours, you know?
I'm telling you.
But it was fun, man. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't
no.
It, I think it's fantastic.
It's disrespectful. I need some sleep. People running wild, throwing firecrackers.
Then, Kevin, live where I live. I moved out in the country for a reason. Someone launch off a firework out there, they're going to burn someone's wheat field. Then they're going to be in a heap hole of trouble, you know? I don't see them out of my place. That's why I come into town on those nights.
Pat from Middleton, thank you, brother.
Love you, brother.
Love you, too. Boy, what a great guy. 72 in Nampa, 580 KIDO. Good morning, Davis. You know, I love this. Two Fly Bride. Go ahead and take my private fireworks. I'm not talking about taking your fireworks. How about some consideration, huh? Judicial Watch next. Kevin. Serving Emmett.